This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين. سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise be unto Allah. نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. We testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah. And we send our love and greeting, salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his pious and pure family, to his companions, and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah grant us to be amongst them. Ameen. Walhamdulillah. Last week we began with this little series on the first caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And we mentioned that there are those who spread rumors, who claim that the caliphate was stolen, that it was usurped, the leadership was stolen after the demise of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so let us look at history. And let us judge for ourselves. And we mentioned last week that yes, indeed, the appointment of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was not smooth. It was not the way in which the leaders should be selected. It was a little chaotic. But at the end of the discussions, the Sahaba appointed Sayyidina Abu Bakr. It was a small group. And then when Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was presented to the Ummah of Medina, there was nobody that raised their hand and said, I should be the Khalifa. That's very important to note. This is historical on our side, on the other side, on those who are not even Muslim, that there was no second claimant to the caliphate. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he explained, he said, we need to have a Khalifa, not just for Medina, we need to have for the whole Ummah. That this is a time where the Ummah is looking for leadership. And no one could dispute the credentials of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. We believe, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, our opinion is that the Nabi Sallam did not handpick a successor. He did not say, Sayyidina Ali, you are the successor, or Abu Bakr, you are the successor. Rather, and this is the default, it is up to the Ummah to decide who they wish to be their Khalifa. A type of democracy, if you will, a type of consultation. But he definitely gave indications. The Nabi Sallam showed who he appointed as leadership in his absence. Sayyidina Abu Bakr led the Salah, when the Nabi was not able to lead the Salah before he passed away. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr was made the Imam of Hajj. Now usually in the past, the Khalifa would be the one who would lead Hajj and Jihad. That's part of your job description. You are the Imam for the Hujjaj of the Ummah. So when the Nabi Sallam, he was alive for two Hajjs, but he only performed one. The one which he did not perform, he sent Sayyidina Abu Bakr as the Amir of the Hajj. He was the Amir of the Hajj. So nonetheless, Sayyidina Abu Bakr was appointed the Khalifa. I always said, if you rejecting Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and you claim that this was usurping, he stole the caliphate, it's not just a simple thing as saying, well, I don't like Abu Bakr. By implication, you reject the ayat that mention his praise, where Allah says, I'm pleased with him, and he's in Jannah. How can Allah say that, yet he stole the caliphate? By rejecting that, you reject the hadith that Nabi said, Abu Bakr is a siddiq, all the things that Nabi said about him. You insult the Nabi Sallam by appointing the man, the day he dies, he led the Salah. How poor judgment is that on the Nabi Sallam's account? And also, more than that, you reject the entire Sahaba, because they were the ones who corroborated. Because Sayyidina Abu Bakr could not overpower all of them. Sayyidina Abu Bakr could not force, he didn't have an army forcing them to be the Khalifa or a secret service. The fact that he was the Khalifa and none opposed him means the entire Sahaba accepted him as the Khalifa. That is historical. Without going into theology, this group, that group, that is historical. But if we say we throw all of that away, let us look at what the man did as the Khalifa. Let us look at his effect as the Khalifa. Jazakallah khair. Yeah, I'm struggling with my voice. Allah make it easy. How well did he do in the job? The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, in the hadith, if any of you is afflicted, and this was the Sahaba to all of us, but specifically the Sahaba, if any of you finds an affliction in your life, a calamity, then let him be reminded, let him remember his calamity by me in my death, for indeed it is the greatest calamity. The Nabi says, saying to the Sahaba, there will be no calamity that you will face, a child dying, sickness, whatever it is, bigger than my death. Nothing is going to hurt you more than when I die. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is assuming leadership in the most calamitous situation in the Ummah. The most vulnerable time the Ummah was at this moment. And we know that crisis immediately erupts. When the news spreads that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed away, all the enemies, all the munafiqs, all of them across Arabia stepped up. And you had a rebellion all across the Arabian Peninsula. When the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, he ruled the Arabian Peninsula. He ruled Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Oman, Bahrain, Dubai, all the countries that we basically know as the Arabian Peninsula was under his control, his authority. And when he died, immediately many of these tribes broke away. And you had, and we'll talk about this, strange new prophets emerging, claiming to be successors to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi speaks about this time. He says, and this is metaphorical, he says, the stars keep the skies safe. And when the stars disappear, then the skies will get what they were promised. Meaning, Qiyamah will come. When the stars disappear, there's no one protecting the sky anymore. Then calamity will befall them and it will be Qiyamah. And the Nabi says, and I am the protector of my Sahaba. So when I go, when I die, then my companions will get what they were promised in terms of calamity. Then calamity will befall them. And then he says, Nabi Sallam, and my Sahaba are the protectors of the Muslim Ummah. And so when they pass away, the Muslim Ummah will be exposed to calamities. So now is the time of the Sahaba. The Ummah is looking to them, now no more Rasulullah Sallam. What are they going to do? The fact that we are Muslim here today is because of those actions that they did in that very first few days of the death of Nabi Sallam. The fact that the same Quran is what you read in China and America and South Africa, like no other religion. No other religion has this. It is because of the actions taken by Abu Bakr and his Sahaba. So Abu Bakr, on the day the Nabi passed away, they elected him as Sahaba. And they elected him as the Khalifa. The word Khalifa also, they didn't, what are we going to call you? He didn't want to be called the king or the Amir. He said, call me the Khalifa. Khalifa means the substitute. The man is not there. I'm just the substitute that fills in. So his actual title is Khalifatu Rasulillah, the substitute of the messenger of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then when Sayyidina Abu Bakr passed away, they said Sayyidina Umar was initially Khalifatu Rasulullah, the substitute of the substitute. They said, now this is going to become very long. This is called Amirul Mu'mineen, the commander of the Muslimin. Let's just call him that. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr gives a speech, small speech, as the Khalifa. And look at the speech. He says to the Sahaba, O people, I have been appointed over you. I was chosen to be your Khalifa, though I am not the best amongst you. I don't consider myself, I'm number one. If I do well, then help me. Whatever good I do, support me. And if I act wrongly, then correct me. Stop me if I do something wrong. Truthfulness is synonymous with fulfilling the trust. That for me to do my job, I have a trust and amana. This is not a promotion. This is a test. This is a responsibility. And lying is equivalent to treachery. If I lie, I betray the entire ummah. I betray all of you. The weak among you is indeed strong by me. Meaning, the people that concern me the most are the weak, because that's my job to protect them. Until I return to them that which is rightfully theirs. My job as Khalifa, the only job of the ruler, is to take care of the weak. That's why I'm there. And the strong among you is weak in my sight until you give what is due to the weak, until you do your obligation. Then he says, now, at this point in time, the news is reaching. They're already grieving. The Nabi is dead. They haven't buried the Nabi yet. They don't know what to do. But the news is reaching of all the different governors being executed. Remember, there were governors, the Nabi appointed in Yemen, Bahrain. These governors are being executed by the rebels in those countries. The Ummah is breaking apart. What should we do? So Sayyidina Abu Bakr says, no group of people abandons jihad, except that Allah will make them suffer humiliation. And as he had spoken, we see that today. Billions of Muslims, no value, just humiliation. And evil does not become widespread amongst the people, except that Allah will affect calamities upon them. And we see this to be true as well. So then he says, obey me so long as I obey Allah and His Messenger. And if I disobey Allah and His Messenger, then you have no right to obey me. Then disobey me. Stand up now, and it's salah, and pray, and may Allah have mercy on you. Very short khutbah. I was appointed to be the Amir. I'm not better than you. I have a job to do to help the poor. We have a huge calamity on our hands. We're going to have to fight jihad. If we don't stop this, evil will spread over the world. And we're looking to you, Sahaba, to do this. So, the first order of business, the first thing on the desk of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, what was to be done? Obviously, there was the burial of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but this was left to the family of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Those who were closest to him. Sayyidina Abu Bakr, of course, is an in-law. And so the Ahlul Bayt, they ghusled the Nabi's body, and they allowed for 3 days everyone to make janazah salah on the Nabi Sallam. They didn't move his body from his house. Everyone went into the house, made a small jama'ah, and for 3 days the Nabi Sallam was performed salah upon, and then they buried the Nabi in his house. It's very emotional. How can you put him in the ground? Nonetheless, the first real order of business for Sayyidina Abu Bakr was the army of Usama. Oh, some context here. Before the Nabi Sallam passed away, a month or so before he passed away, the Nabi Sallam arranged a campaign, an army, to fight against the Romans. Now, this is the superpower of the world. Because that is the people in the direction of Palestine. You can almost imagine that after Makkah, the next objective of the Nabi Sallam was Masjid al-Aqsa. And the army was headed in that direction. And he appointed the Amir of that army, Usama. By now we should all know Usama. If the only Usama you know is Usama bin Laden, then you know there's a problem. This is Usama ibn Zayd. Usama, the son of Zayd, the adopted son of Nabi Sallam. So Usama is like the grandson of Nabi Sallam. In fact, Usama radiallahu anhu is possibly the last man to see the Nabi Sallam alive. The last man, the last person is Aisha. But the last man is Usama, and we'll explain why. So the Nabi Sallam arranges an army, 3,000 Sahaba. This is basically all the men of Medina, the fighting men. Even Abu Bakr and Umar is in that army. And then he appoints Usama, you are the general. Sahaba like, how? He's like a kid, he's 17, 18 years old. And they argued, and eventually Nabi Sallam shut them down. And he said to them, I love Usama like I love his father. And you know how much I love Zayd. So Sahaba backed off. So nonetheless, Usama and his army went. Then the Nabi Sallam got sick. And the army stopped. And Abu Bakr and Umar left the army to come to Medina to see what's happening. The army is not knowing what to do. So the army is outside. And Usama comes back to the city. He's the general. He comes back. And he visits the Nabi Sallam maybe an hour before he passes away. The Nabi Sallam is in his room. He's not able to speak. Usama pops into the room. And the Nabi Sallam just motions to him. I love you. Go and do your job. Don't worry about me. Go. You have a job to do. So Usama goes and he leaves. And the army is on its way to fight the Romans. This is the superpower of the world. Then the news reaches that the Prophet has passed away. So the army comes back to Medina. And they arrive in Medina. Abu Bakr is the Khalifa. And the Sahaba all say, look, this is not the right time to... We are now fighting a rebellion. Let's not send the army to fight the superpower of the world. We've got... Medina is at threat now. They don't even know if Makkah is going to remain on Islam. Remember the people of Makkah? They just became Muslim recently. They were conquered. What are they going to do? So Abu Bakr said, do you really... And this is why he is Abu Bakr. He said, do you expect me, the first job, the first decree I'm going to do, is to go against the command that Nabi Sallam did? He authorized that army. And I will not listen to anything else. If the his last instruction was to send this army, I'm going to send that army. And if none of you are going to go, I'm going to go alone. Picked up his sword, I'm going to go out alone. So the Sahaba realized they're not going to talk Abu Bakr down. So the army, with all the men, a few of them remained behind, like Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Ali, the leadership remained in Medina, and the army left to go and fight an international campaign when there was major problems internally. We might say this, and the Sahaba in reality felt this was foolish, but the yakin of Abu Bakr was different. And before the army left, he reminded them of the rules of engagement. A very important speech to Osama. He said, do not kill any child, a woman, or any elder or sick person. Do not practice treachery or mutilation. Meaning, if you enter a land and you sign an agreement, you must follow that agreement. Don't mutilate the dead people. Do not burn trees or cut down trees. Do not kill animals except to eat. And do not fight. If one fights his brother, avoid striking the face. So if there's a altercation within the ranks, let no one hurt each other. If you find people worshipping in the synagogue or in the monastery, the monks, leave them. Don't harm places of worship. And do not kill priests. And do not destroy villages or towns or buildings or fields. All of these things. And if you encounter the enemy, then pray to Allah to grant you security. Because and practice patience. And never ever use fire to hurt somebody. It's haram to burn someone. It's only Allah that may use fire. And amongst you, do good deeds. If good deeds, meaning do good deeds, and this will be your success. Not how you fight. The good deeds you do. And so the army leaves. This is basically the entire male population of Medina. Medina is now vulnerable, subhanAllah. And this was like a golden opportunity. The people, the rebels realized, Medina is empty. Let us go and attack Medina. This is, you know, if you look at Abu Bakr's caliphate, only 27 months. Very short, 2 years and 3 months. Every month there's a new crisis. In June, he sends the army out. In July, news reaches an army is about to invade Medina. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, he organizes whatever was left in Medina to go out and said, look, we're ready. Whoever wants to invade Medina, we are here. Come and let's fight. Sayyidina Ali, and very important again, Sayyidina Ali was in that army. Why important? If Sayyidina Ali was just robbed of his caliphate, he's not going to sign up to fight under Abu Bakr's army. So the city of Medina is about to be invaded, and the Sahaba step out of Medina as a show of force, and the Bedouins don't turn up. While this is happening, Usama is doing his thing with the permission of Allah. He goes all the way deep into Roman lands, and he is greatly successful. In summary, he came, he saw, he conquered. And so when he returns after 2-3 months, this is a symbol to everyone. Look, these guys still have power in them. They just took on the United States of that time, and they won. So these guys have still muscle in them. But, so no one is now ready to invade Medina, but the rebellion continues. And this opens a chapter. In fact, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is most well known, his caliphate, is dealing with what we call the war of Ridda. Ridda, you know the word murtad, the murtad. I mean, he apostated. So this campaign for the next year and a half is going to be called the Wars of Ridda. Abu Bakr is going to deal with all these murtads, those who rebelled. So the news reaches that everywhere, in fact the whole Arabian Peninsula, besides Medina and Makkah, alhamdulillah, Makkah remained. The people of Makkah, Abu Sufyan and all of them, they had a meeting to decide, what are we going to do? Should we break away and go back to idol worship? Subhanallah. And the Sahabi, you know, if you know your history, he was the Sahabi against the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. He was the one who signed the agreement. He was opposed to the Muslims. Now he became a Muslim. And he was very eloquent. And so he gave a speech. And he said to the Quraysh, Quraysh, don't humiliate yourself twice. Number one, you were last to accept Islam. The Nabi had to come and conquer you to accept Islam. Now don't also add to your humiliation to be the first to leave Islam. And the people of Makkah, they remained. So it was only really Makkah and Medina and this area called Hijaz, which was still on the authority of the caliphate. And if you look at the people who rebelled, they were not all the same kind. And we won't be able to do this week. Next week we'll talk about these wars, the wars of Ridda. You had those tribes who basically went back to idol worship and they rejected. So they were Muslim. And they said, we reject La ilaha illallah, and they rebuilt their idols. So these are clear murtads. No one disputes. They're murtads. And they must be fought. Then you had this new phenomenon of people claiming to be prophets. Why? Because they saw one was very successful, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they wanted to be a copycat. So you had in almost every tribe, a man who would say, well, ladies, even prophetesses, that now we get revelation. And of course, the most famous of them is Musaylamah. We'll talk about him. He was the most famous and the worst of them. So you had false prophets. So tribes who went back to Jahiliyyah. Tribes were now following these false prophets. And they were very charismatic. They were getting huge following. And then you had a strange group of people who said, we are still Muslim. We still say the Kalima. We still say Muhammad Rasulullah. We still make Salah. But we don't want to pay Zakah. We will not pay Zakah. Why? Greed. I don't want to pay. So it's like saying, subhanAllah, maybe if we could, we'd do this. We'd say, you the president, you in charge, but we're not going to pay SARS. We will stop paying zakah now. So the Sahaba were deciding, what should we do? Abu Bakr is clear. We're going to fight the apostates. We're going to fight those who went back to Jahiliyyah and the false prophets. We're going to fight all of them. Everyone, we're going to fight all of them. And so say, what about this group that doesn't want to pay zakah? The Sahaba said, Sayyidina Umar, very vocal, saying, look, we can't take on the whole world, Abu Bakr. Let us compromise with them. And we say to them, okay, it's not good not to pay zakah, but we'll deal with you later. First, let us fight these guys. Abu Bakr again, he grabs Sayyidina Umar and he said, where's the tough guy? You used to be the tough guy in Jahiliyyah. Everyone knows. Now, you became pop now, man. I will fight anyone who does not give 1 cent of zakah that is due in Islam. I will fight them even if I must fight alone. Again, same line. And they said to Abu Bakr, how can you fight them when they say the kalima? So Abu Bakr basically says, I'm not fighting them as kuffar. I'm not saying that they are non-Muslims. But they are rebelling against the ummah, and I will fight anyone who differentiates between salah and zakah. If anyone wants to bring about an Islam without zakah, I must fight that man. And this is why we have an Islam, wherever you go in the world, of five pillars. Very clear. In every other religion, you'll find differences in the sects. Because in the early days, you had this fragmentation. Because we're not going to tolerate that. We are not going to say it's okay that you make up your own Islam. If we say it's okay, you don't have to pay zakah. This group are going to say, we don't want to make hajj. That group is going to say, we don't want to make salah. Where does it stop? This is Islam, and you're either in it or you're against it. Very, very stern story. Very stern line. Now, we all know the Abu Bakr, the very soft, the meek, mild. This is not the Abu Bakr that that we have the idea of. This is a very stern man of leadership. And he is willing to go it alone. That this is the right thing to do. Sayyidina Umar said, we did not basically agree with Abu Bakr, but you know, he made the final decision. But ultimately we realized he was right. You know, history is going to see what he did was the right thing to do. So, the most dangerous of these, of course, were the false prophets. And the Nabi said in a hadith, that before the coming of Qiyamah, there will appear 30 Dajjalun Kadhabun. There will be 30 Dajjals, 30 liars. The last of them is the main Dajjal. And all of them, the first thing they will do, of the first things they will do, is they will claim to be a prophet. So 30 big false prophets are going to occur until the big Dajjal occurs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a verse which up until this point, the Sahaba had not fully understood this verse. Now it made sense. And Allah says to the Muslims, Ya أيها الذين آمنوا, O believers, من يرتد منكم, if any of you becomes murtad, عن دينه, on the religion of Allah, then what's Allah going to do? Allah says, if you want to become murtad, let me show you what I'm going to do. فَسَوْفَ يُؤْتَى اللَّهُ بِكَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. Allah says, then I will send a people who Allah loves and they love Allah. They are humble and soft when it between them. أَذِلَّ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Between them, they are merciful and kind and soft. أَعِزَّةً عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. And they are severe and they are brave in struggling against those, against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. And they have no fear against anything. Who is Allah talking about here? If you become murtad, I'm going to send you people that love Allah, and He loves Allah loves him, and he will fear no one. He's going to fight with everything he's got without any fear. This is Abu Bakr. Many of the scholars mentioned this ayah is Abu Bakr in personification. He is not going to worry about anything. He's going to fight in the path of Allah. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And this is the fadl Allah gives to some people. وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. And Allah is wide in giving His bounties. So this is the beginning of the words of Ridda. And we're going to end with this last point. What is their strategy? We leave on this cliffhanger. But there are 10 provinces at the same time that are rebelling. 10 rebellions all over the Muslim Ummah. Sahaba, only a few thousand. What are we going to do? Abu Bakr decides. And this is with consultation of Khalid ibn Walid. This is where Khalid ibn Walid becomes famous. This war, this campaign. He says, let's fight all of them at the same time. We are going to engage all of them so that they don't join up into a gang. 10 armies are going to go out to keep them separated. And we'll have one major army. We'll take them off one by one. We'll keep them separated. And then we're going to send Khalid ibn Walid with the head of the army to take them off one by one. And within 1 year, inshallah, we'll see how this was a success. We continue next week, bi-idhnillah. Inshallah. A few announcements. Actually, not many announcements. Just an announcement that another jihad tomorrow. Our meet and treat is tomorrow for the singles. We make dua for the brothers and sisters. Ameen. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa sahbihi sallam. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.